Let's talk about recruitment and making changes and making plans for 2014, New Year's resolutions and the like, and looking at your work and your life balance. Brian Briscoe is with us this morning to help us along our way. That's nice.
That's it, isn't it? And it still feels like November, and here we
well,
are.
Well, it I'm feels like by, March to me.
I'm draped in tinsel in the ABC studio.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. No, but that's how fast life's becoming, isn't it?
Every totally year it gets faster. True. Anyway, we're going to talk, because this time of year, maybe in a short while, people start even giving it more thought, but that idea of, right, 2014, I'm going to sort myself out. I can't go through another year of, you know, going sideways. Mm. Making plans for maybe new jobs or going your own way and getting that balance right. I'm overworking, being underpaid, all those sort of things. So if you were to sit down and actually give it some thought, because that's the main thing, isn't it? Actually give it that attention it deserves.
Exactly. It's preparedness. So the thing that I thought was really good to cover off at the end of November, start of December segment on the radio with you is, rather than asking people to start thinking about 2014 in January, because that's what everyone does.
Yes.
So, and I was on to Scott McNally, is a guy that works at Seek in Perth, and he's a pretty intuitive guy and keeps an eye on the stats. And we were both talking about the fact that the traffic increases for employers and employees at the same time, and it happens around late January, early February. So it's like everyone kind of had a little bit of thought about it and then goes to the market at the same time.
Yeah.
So no wonder jobs find people rather than people finding careers. Because no one's really sat back and prepared about it.
So, that's a good point.
So I thought, well, what a great idea at the end of November to kind of plant a few seeds with people. So when you're kind of, you know, you got a food hangover on Boxing Day after mm-hmm. the massive dinner you had on Christmas Day, or you're sitting down on the 28th or 29th and you get an hour to spare, have a little think about, well, what do I want to do? And how would that look? And what kind of jobs could I get? So that by the time the employers go looking for people early yep. Feb, you're one of the people that are actually ready to be spoken to
yep.
rather than just starting your planning. And so it's just the timing of it, I think. And,
yeah.
You know,
it's a really good point, though, isn't it? Because if everybody's doing it at the same time, inevitably it's a case of, well, there's a hole. We'll jump into that hole.
Haven't we spoken about the herd mentality before lots of times, right? If you're just running with the herd, there's a chance you might get killed in the stampede.
Yeah.
So you're going to be slightly ahead of the game.
So if you are planning ahead, let's say you're starting even now, which would be great, what would you be recommending?
Well, let me talk from a personal point of view. I did all of my goals for 2014 a month ago, and basically sat down with four or five people that we formed a little kind of a business group with, and shared all my goals. So I had my goals done in probably mid-October. Personal, business, wealth, family, health, all of them done. So
I'm practicing
what I pray, and every year I do it, James.
Do you? What do you do? Do you write them down?
Write them down.
Where do you stick them?
They're on a one pager. They're in my home office. They're in my work office. But I kind of, because I keep them really simple, I kind of know them, and then I track them.
Can you give me an example, or is it private?
No, that's all right. Well, around health, I want to complete 4.5 marathons next year, and I want to have one of my times be less than 1 hour 32 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, they're specific. You either achieve the goal or you don't, right? So
it's not just achieving; it's even got a time on it.
Absolutely. Well, because you know why? I'll give you a great example, right? I want to lose weight. That's a great goal. You lost a pound of weight, or you lost 100 grams. You still achieved losing weight, but what did you want to achieve, right? So I think it has to be specific and it has to be measurable. And then I'll track it halfway through the year, and at the end of next year, I look at what I achieved in my goals, because it's all too easy to set yourself goals, but no one actually has the discipline to look back and be a bit brutal with themselves about, well, what did I achieve?
Right.
The other thing to remember, so that's just a health goal for me. And then those goals about where we want the business to go and what we want to achieve in the business, and we can measure those through different ways and so on. And then even around family, it's like, well, I want to take every second Wednesday off with Grace and Keane and spend time with them. So, or every second Wednesday afternoon, rather. So I've kind of put that family balance thing in.
That's because, good.
Yeah, I used to do it, and then I kind of went by the wayside and bringing it back now.
Yeah.
Creeps. Yeah, exactly. So it's just a matter of, so around career, it's just.
But Dan, just go back, because what I like about what you're doing here is you're actually putting more detail on into the mix here than I thought. You know, because otherwise we make broad goals, and those broad goals, as you say, push out, don't they?
Yeah.
Whereas if you put something which is measurable, like every other Wednesday, you're going to do something with the kids. It's going to be locked into the diary. It's locked in for the next 26, you know, sessions over the year.
Yeah.
Job done.
Spot on. So you've hit the nail on the head with something. It's good. We should swap desks someday, James.
Thank you.
No, the reason is, as soon as you set yourself, and let's bring it back to career goals, because you can apply this mentality to anything.
Yeah.
if you are able to set something like, well, this is what I want to do in my career, get your calendar out. There's no excuse anymore. We've all got Outlook calendars on all our devices, mm-hmm. right? Get your calendar out and schedule things into the year that's going to make it happen,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's no point in saying that, oh, listen, I'm really going to want to do this, that, or the other, if then there's no structure or existence in your year to do it.
Yeah,
you're going to be in a very candidate, competitive year next year. We're at Briscoe Search and at Trades and Labour Company, we've seen a doubling in ad response for every single job that we are recruiting for wow. compared to 9 months ago.
Wow.
So that shouldn't scare you. It should probably inspire you to get your proverbial together in 2014. So yeah. you've got to be more focused, more prepared, and you've got to set yourself these goals. So I'll rewind back a little bit. If you think of what a company does, a company has a personal mission statement or a company mission statement. A company wants to know where it's going to go. And I think a great way of doing that as a candidate. So if you look at the great companies in the world they have a vision, they've got missions, and they've got values. As a person, you should answer yourself one question. The day I retire, I will want to have achieved such and such in my career. And you start with the end in mind. So you write that down, and that becomes almost like your career statement,
mm-hmm.
right? And then from there you go, what will I want to have had in my career to achieve that? Now, I've done this one-on-one consulting with people, and it gives them extraordinary clarity. I had one guy, David's his name, spent a bit of time in a few months ago as a favor to a client of mine. He was so confused and foggy and misty, didn't know what he wanted to do. And we did this vision, mission, values with him personally.
Because mm-hmm.
companies do it all the time, but people kind of meander and then see mm-hmm. an ad on mm-hmm. Seek late January, apply to it.
Yeah,
and 2014 becomes the year of another foggy job, right? And then we're having this conversation. You go, I hope Brian's on this December so I can get 2015 right. So what you want to do is really sit down and say, well, what do I want to have achieved in my career? What would it entail? And then start scoring bashing on about this ad nauseum. You write that down in an Excel spreadsheet on the left-hand side and you start to score career options according to it. So by the time late January hits us, you are one of the few clear...
What do you mean by scoring a career option?
So let's say we'll use your job, right? We'll use your Saturday morning job,
yeah.
Or your day job. You might say, well, in my career, I want to have achieved such and such. I want to make a real difference to people and I want to leave a legacy. That might be something you've got a career statement or something else. Then for that to happen, I want to be working with people. I want to have variety. I want to have something that really pushes me and challenges me. And then you go, I wonder, could I be a radio DJ? Right. And it's a far-fetched example because there's not a huge amount of roles around, but very talented people, James, that do that job. But
wow.
But you then start to score. How would that job score out of 10 for me to work with people? How would that job score out of 10 for me to have challenge and variety?
Oh, that's good.
So you start to bring some quantitative. This is the issue with career hunting. Every job looks okay on the surface and there's no way of scoring it. So I give the same advice to people when they're shortlisting positions. You got to have some key criteria you're looking for in that person and you got to score them. It's not meant to turn it into a mathematical science, but it brings a little bit of thought behind it.
Yeah.
So you're not just flitting from one Seek ad or one conversation to the next. You've actually got some direction about what you're looking for.
But how do you know when you see that ad, for example, how it's going to actually score up?
Yeah, well, you often don't. And often you've got to get one stage further than the ad to find out if it does or not. But, you know... I'm just going to use that example again. If working with people, variety and challenge and pushing yourself was one of those things, well, a boring, banal, back office, non-people interacting job, pretty obvious it's not going to stack up.
So,
right? And this is not going to give you Dalai Lama style quality when you're reading ads, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or clarity, rather, when you're reading ads. But what it does give you is a sense of purpose and direction to what you're looking for. So you're not running with the herd in mid to late January.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The issue I've found is that candidates come to us mid-January, say, right, had a bit of a think about it over Christmas, want to have a change. And I say, how much thinking did you do? What did it entail? And it seriously like entailed a lightning bolt over their fourth glass of champagne on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And they haven't done anything else apart from that. And I go, well, right, do you know what you want to do? Not really. Okay, how do you know what you're going to go for? And we don't dishonor them. We help them. They're not meant to make feel bad. But sometimes it's really good to show people, for a moment, show people how naked they are, so then you can dress them properly.
Yeah,
you know. So and most people won't have done that. So 2014, let me tell you, in WA is going to be a year where if you can compete well with candidates, you will get jobs, and if you can't, you won't.
Simple as that. How interesting that you mentioned this, which sounds so obvious, yet so few of us will do it. As you say, we make plans for all sorts of things, but we don't make plans often for our careers, which we spend most of our lives in.
Correct.
And also the balance that goes with that, the family life that goes with that. So if we were to maybe all have a little bit of homework this weekend, just sit down and give it some thought, and also maybe discuss it, I guess, with family, yeah, partners, that,
yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah.
And is it good to go, well, I'm gonna lock this in, you know, once every fortnight. Is that just pushing it too much? Because sometimes, we'll scale back a bit. We'll make it once a month. You know what I mean? Should you be pushing it?
I think smaller sessions more often are better than one big session every month, because you, okay, probably won't do it. And if you miss, yeah, it, then, yeah, it's, yeah, then it's a month next. If all you were doing was sitting back and thinking about it once a week for 15 minutes,
yeah,
you'd be so surprised at how better you get it. Executives and senior managers are told by all these experts around the world to block out time in your calendar every day,
yep,
for strategy, because we, well, all get into the, yeah, operational, yeah, weeds of our,
totally,
businesses, our jobs. Well, why wouldn't we be doing that as people?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you have an...
every day sounds a little excessive.
Well, could be one, sure, it could be. It does sound a bit excessive. But I suppose they tell us every day, so we might get twice a week in, James.
Okay, that's a good point. But knowing you, you'd have something in front of you which you need to tick the box off and, you know, score,
well,
it.
Yeah, I saw Tim Ferriss, the 4-hour work week guy. I saw him at a conference in Sydney 3 weeks ago, and he spoke about 15 minutes every morning that he does. And I kind of was laughing and said, it's easy to find 15 minutes if you're only working 4 hours a week. I'm working 60. Where do I find it?
Was it inspiring hearing him?
Do you believe it? Yeah, he was good because he's so practical. Oh, he's written a book and made a fairly, yeah, good career out of it.
Yeah.
He looks pretty comfortable and wealthy to me, so perhaps it works.
He just hit on the right note at the right time, clearly. Yeah. That's great, Brian. Good advice today. We're going to all do that. We're going to sit down for a little while over the next few weeks and just jot that down and stick to it. So easy not to.
It is so easy not to. And listen, the only thing I'd say is don't beat yourself up about becoming, you know, it's okay, good to hear what someone like who's a goal freak like myself does. But if all you do is 20 minutes a week for the 2.5 weeks, let's say you're off for Christmas, you are ahead of 85% of the herd.
Yeah.
And that may all you need. The top 15% of the herd next year might be the ones that get the good jobs.
Great stuff, Brian. Thanks for coming in.
Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners.
Yeah,
and
you too.
Let's enjoy the next month of tinsel and Christmas music in the shops.
Oh, I love that. See you. Brian Briscoe with us every few weeks here on Saturday Breakfast, looking at the world of jobs, careers, recruitment and the like. It's 17 minutes to 8. We'll go to the Bureau next.
The Ashes. Australia's gone one up in the battle for the Ashes with an impressive win at the Gabba.
He spoons it off a leading edge and Johnson takes the catch.
Now, it's time to head to Adelaide and see if they can repeat their performance.
Hi, this is Michael Clarke. Tune in for the Ashes.
He's bowled. He's gone right through and hit his poles.
ABC Grandstand's live and commercial-free coverage of the Ashes starts Thursday morning on 720 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
I didn't realise it's the second test. I don't know what happened to the first test. But anyway, Matt Bodehoven's at the Bureau. Morning, Matt.
Good morning.
How's the weather looking for the weekend?
Yeah, we're going to have a shower too around the metropolitan area today, maximum of 23 degrees. Then on Sunday, possible morning shower, overnight min of 15, a max of 24. And sunny weather on Monday as a ridge develops along the south coast and a max of 26.
Good. And the local waters?
Westerly 20 to 25 knots. They're going to tend southwesterly 15, 20 knots in the early afternoon. Seas 1.5 to 2.5 metres. And west-southwesterly swell 2.5 to 4 metres, easing down to 2 to 3 metres during the afternoon.
Too easy, Matt. Thank you very much. When we return after 8:30, got another couple of tickets, another couple of pairs of tickets, I should say, to give away for Leo's concert with Wazzo at the Perth Concert Hall on Wednesday, December the 11th. So another chance for you to grab some of those tickets. Got a good couple of questions coming your way. Also, our big interview this morning is with Dr. Matt Appleby. He's an ecologist with Bush Heritage. You may well have heard of Bush Heritage, of course. It's got its roots in Tasmania, but a very unique approach to conservation involves the buying up of land with the aim of rehabilitating the land to its former glory. So we'll talk to Matt in around about 45 minutes or so from now. And we're going to get you in the mood for Christmas. Joseph Nolan with the St. George's Cathedral consorts are going to be in the studio, and we're going to have a couple of live tracks for you to get you in the mood. And my goodness, they make it sound good, these guys. Fantastic talents. And that's coming your way on Saturday Breakfast this morning. Time now, though, 7:45.